that you want to be identified as?
This is Mark Cantu, M-A-R-K-C-A-N-T-U, and my official title is writer, director, editor for Now Hiring.
All right, good. So the first thing I want to ask you, Mark, is did you grow up reading comic books and superheroes, or was that something that you got into as a film goer, really loving comic movies? So how did you first become interested in this genre?
Surprisingly enough, I wasn't a comic book fan growing up at all. My brother was actually a comic book fan, so I kind of experienced it from a distance. So I really wasn't caught up in like storylines and things like that. The first impression that I ever had with like actual superheroes from comic books was Superman from 78, which was Christopher Reeve. And that is one of my top films of all time, just in terms of just the story, the look, the feel, the dialogue. And so I gravitated more towards Superman, not because of superhero necessarily, but because of the way the story was told. So I approached it, I guess, kind of in reverse. It was like reverse engineering the love for comic books and superheroes. So I wasn't necessarily like a big comic book fan growing up. I'm obviously aware of them now. I really wasn't too interested when I was growing up.
What from that stuck with you that you said, I want to do something like this myself someday?
You mean in terms of like movies or just...
Yeah, I mean like in terms of movies, and then also in terms of like you had a short film for this concept that you did before a feature. What did you want to bring along to your own take on this type of story?
I think everybody just wants to fly, honestly. I think that was the biggest thing that I took from Superman. I mean, I grew up and I had dreams of flying constantly. So I think initially when I came up with the idea for Now Hiring just 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever it was, the initial thing was just, hey, wouldn't it be great if this? But then the more I thought about it, the more I really wanted to say something with, I mean, not just being a comedy, but saying something about relationships and the human condition. So, and the more I thought about the relationship between a man and his wife, it was almost, at least for me, I mean, this is my personal take on it, is wanting to be a hero for your wife. I mean, even just in the ordinary everyday sense. I mean, just, you know, putting a blanket on her when she's cold, or, you know, giving her some ice cream, or getting her a bottle of wine, or whatever the case is. Going out of your way to be that hero for her every day. And then I think it was just kind of a natural extension of that, and kind of saying, okay, now I'm going to defend the entire city with the love that I have for my wife, you know. So
in the movie, the main character, Average Joe, he's down on his luck. He doesn't have a job at the moment, and he's looking for a job. He wants to be the hero for his wife, and you know, he's just having a tough time of it. You know, did our own current economy come into your play when you were thinking about this in terms of a plot? And also, how did perhaps maybe your own feelings about relationships and wanting to be the hero, like you said, in terms of breadwinning and things, you know, influence Average Joe and his character?
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of that stuff was there from the original short, just the relationship, the dynamic of the guy being out of work. And at the time, I mean, I was working in another position professionally, so that really didn't influence it as much as it wound up doing a little bit later on. But in the original short, I think it was slightly based in what was going on with the economy around 2008, 2009, when we were just kind of getting past all that. So I think that kind of that did influence it, and it was definitely a platform that we could take advantage of, and kind of say, you know, the guy's kind of been essentially castrated by the economy, and it's just like he feels, you know, spineless, and he's not contributing to his marriage. But I think it was just kind of serendipitous. The more we kind of started to grow the story, the more I pulled from my own life, which started to kind of reflect. And obviously, I was out of work at the time. And so you do kind of go through that. And maybe it was method directing. Maybe it was method writing. I don't know. But you do kind of start to pull from your life. And definitely going through that situation at that time, it was like, yeah, I can relate. Is that you do feel like, what do I have to offer this person? That, you know, that you're trusting me with the rest of your life. You know, what could I possibly put on the table for us? So there was that issue kind of slowly bleeding into it. But I think initially it did kind of come from, hey, let's just tell a funny story. But it happened to be in a great platform. And then as I grew up in a relationship, things started to mirror. And it just, I think it kind of, it dovetailed nicely. And I think that's one of the things that always kind of reminds me that it was meant to be. You know, that you couldn't have planned this out better. You couldn't have written it any better and said, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to lose your job at one point, and that's going to help you tell this story, and you're going to have a baby, and that's going to help you tell the story. So it was little things like that that happened along the way to really kind of help us tell the story. So
yeah. Your own life dovetailed with,
exactly,
with it in that regard. So there's a lot of, you know, technical hurdles, you know, buildings that literally and figuratively need to be leapt in order to make something like a superhero film actually happen. And especially with the kind of budget that you're working with, obviously, with a local budget here. I'm going to wait for this helicopter to pass by. Here's that helicopter you wanted. AirLife, I hope they're okay.
See, that constantly happens. When you're not looking for the helicopter, it shows up, and you're like, oh, where were you when I had my camera?
So that goes right with this question
exactly.
Here, what we're talking about here. I mean, like, you're trying to do all these things. You know, you're trying to make people fly. You're trying to have explosions. You're trying to, you know, have helicopters flying through the air. You want to get great shots that are aerial shots and things like this. You know, I mean, how did you make it all happen?
Very carefully. Like, obviously, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, like, there were literally days where I would just kiss my wife goodbye at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, jump in my car, and literally just drive around the city for 6 hours sometimes and just wait and just see if I could find a helicopter somewhere or see if I could find a bus somewhere. And so you literally kind of just had to chase the movie in a weird kind of way, is that you had to pick and choose your spots. I mean, there's some great shots that we left on the cutting room floor of cop cars just kind of sitting in front of buildings with their lights on, where I just happened to pull up and they were stopped talking to somebody else, and if I angled my camera just right, they were part of the scene all of a sudden. So we got really lucky doing that, but again, it took a lot of elbow grease and just kind of getting in the trenches every day and just being like, okay, I could come back with a lot or I could come back with nothing today. And you just had to take your chances every single day. So, and a lot of that was a lot of lonely work, I'm not gonna lie. It was a lot of lonely hours spent driving in a car waiting for a helicopter to land somewhere. So,
yeah, I mean, like, and even before we started doing you started doing all this too. I mean, like, what made you think, you know what, I think I can pull it off?
I think that's the challenge. I think I've always been an action fiend anyway. I love action movies, and I love the energy that you have to bring to it, the energy they demand from a director and an editor. And so I think to me that's always been the challenge, no matter what whether we've done a short film or you know, a music video or anything like that. It's saying, okay, here are the parameters, and now how can I go way beyond those and do something a bit more? So I think if, for me personally, if I wasn't challenging myself, I'd be bored. And so it was partly out of wanting to tell a big, huge story, but partly also just trying to challenge myself and not bore myself to death in the edit and being like, oh, I'm shooting a drama in a room with two people, which could be great, but it's... That's not who I am right now. So, but
well, your wife in the press notes for the picture, who's a producer on the film, Elizabeth. She knows how y'all wanted to show off San Antonio in the film, and describe how you do that.
I'm a San Antonio boy through and through. So I love living here. I was born and raised here. I've lived in the same house for 35 years. So it was a conscious decision to one kind of showcase the city in a way that hasn't been done before, but at the same time to kind of steer away from a lot of the big things, like not shooting a scene in front of the Alamo, because that doesn't make sense for the story that we're trying to tell. So kind of trying to keep it grounded in San Antonio, but at the same time giving it a reality and saying, okay, obviously we're not going to showcase a scene here because that doesn't make any sense. It would be too blatant. And I never wanted to do that, but at the same time, there are these little pockets of our city that I figured, why wouldn't you showcase that? Why wouldn't you show that part of the city off and see that we're a big metropolitan city? You know, so, and I mean, we're NBA champs. We're, you know, runners-up for NFL teams sometimes. So, I mean, it's I think we get a bad rap as just being a small town, but we're not. We're a massive city. And to me, I felt responsible to kind of showcase that part of the city. So
I was pretty impressed by some of the fight scenes and the choreography in them. And I wanted to know kind of like in casting some of your actors, were you looking for fighters that could or actors that could fight and do these things? Or was there any training that was involved, you know?
I think the biggest thing we looked at first and foremost with any of the actors really was, could they act? And that was the biggest question mark for me. We had a few people that had kind of put their names forward at some point in pre-production where they had a lot of fight experience, but they weren't actors. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of sealed the deal for me. And I was like, well, then I'm not going to consider that. Just because I knew how much work emotionally needed to go into this. So I think that was always where I came from at first. But at the same time, you look at somebody like Keith Barry, who plays Max, is a tremendous fighter. And he and Jason Scarborough, who plays the Night Watchman, they both kind of choreographed that fight themselves. So that really is them working all that stuff out. But again, even if Keith had been a great fighter, if he didn't have any presence in the suit, we wouldn't have cast him. And so even then it came down to physically acting and physically being present in the moment in the suit and embodying something. But that was a lot of grueling hours on their end. Once you find the right person physically, then it's a lot of that work gets done for you. So you don't have to really, you know, work too hard for it. And they're both tremendous athletes in their own right to begin with, so that made it a lot easier. They're also extremely creative, and they've watched a ton of movies just like I have, so they kind of know the rhythm of a showcase fight. It's like, let's really go over the top here, let's push it here, let's push it there. So they were both kind of, I left them alone. I stayed out of their way and said, okay, come back in 2 weeks and show me what you got. And they did, and pretty much everything they did, with a couple of tweaks here and there, everything they worked out couple months prior is on screen. So
let me come back to the relationship one more time and say again, I think Caitlin and the fellow who's playing Joe, his name is
Jason.
Yeah. Okay. Caitlin and Jason really had good chemistry together, I believe. So how did you bring them two together? You know, what were you looking for just that very natural couple, that loving couple, I believe?
Well, Caitlin, I've known for years already, and she was actually on my first feature film that I did. It really didn't go anywhere, but I think one of the biggest godsends there was I met Caitlin, and I saw how good an actress she was, and you don't get that gift very often, where she's a great person to begin with, just in real life. She's just a fantastic person to be around, but she's also extremely intuitive, and so that's, in working with her, we kind of developed a very quick shorthand of, if she needed to hit a certain emotional beat, she was very trusting with me almost immediately, and so I kind of was able to push her and pull her where I needed to, and she gave you exactly what she wanted. And you always want to work with people like that, one, because it makes the process a lot easier, but two, they're just extremely talented. So Caitlin was always kind of in the back of my mind, even writing Sarah initially, I kind of had her voice and my wife's voice in there, to be honest with you. I both had them kind of competing. It was kind of like my wife filtered through Caitlin. So that was kind of what I constantly heard. And Caitlin's just a good person. She can't fake that. It's just who she is. And so that comes across very naturally on screen. So she's not having to work for it. Sadio, on the other hand, I've known for 17 years, and I love him to death. But he's such a goofball. And I've known that since day one. And that's what I loved about him, is that the moment I met him in college, I just fell in love with him, because he was so funny and goofy and just kind of slightly irreverent, if I could use that word. And that's kind of what I always felt we needed with Joe, is that he was his own person. He was slightly goofy, but it was extremely accessible for the audience. And again, it also came back to the personal relationship that he and I have, is that we got along very well. And I know Sidio's process as an actor, and we genuinely love each other and we trust each other. So that goes a long way when you are directing people in emotional scenes. So
last thing, you mentioned that you've got another showing coming up in Houston this weekend, and what are some of the further plans that you have for the picture beyond that?
Right now, obviously, like I said, we're going to get past Houston. I do know that we're submitting to film festivals in the next couple of months, and we are also, I think probably within the next couple of weeks, we're also looking at getting some reviews up on some websites. And then we're also going to start looking at submitting to acquisition directors for distribution. So that's the next three biggest hurdles that we've got on our horizon. In which order those come, we're not too sure at this point. But we know that those next three steps are, and probably another couple of screenings here in San Antonio, to be honest with you. So and why not?
Good.
So the city deserves it. So.
Well, I really was. Surprised and delighted by the film, Mark. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you. Appreciate it.